I greet you all this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus, and as we open up this new calendar year, I also wish you a good and blessed new year, and for the days ahead that God might spare us for. May we be established in His service, and may the worship of His name today be towards that end. May it be enabled, may we know the presence of our Lord Jesus among us and His Spirit for due worship of our God. With regard to our service, there are a number of, or serving God, we might say, number of items that I draw to your attention on the news sheet, the service sheet. Do give them some good attention. And let me just especially emphasize the event tomorrow afternoon at Paulson Lacey over in Bookham. I know for some of you it's a little bit away, but it is a lovely place to be for a walk, and the opportunity to wind up the Sunday School project for 2010, to just make a little bit of an event around that. So do please see if you can get to that and encourage others to come along as well. Otherwise, just as I say, to remind you to make use of the items that are listed for you, including the items for prayer as well. As we come to the worship of God in this particular way, in this service this morning, may it be the expression of each of our hearts, as the psalmist wrote, "I love the Lord, because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people." So let us each do so, let us do so together, and we turn in our first praise this morning to Psalm 138 to sing together Psalm 138 as you find it on page 179. Psalm 138, page 179. We'll sing just the verses on that page, four stanzas, verses marked 1 through to 5. I'll praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I'll sing your praise. I'll bow towards your holy place and bless your holy name always. I'll praise you for your faithfulness and for your covenant love, O Lord, for over all things you have raised your holy name and faithful word. And so let us sing to his praise together this morning. 138, we'll stand to sing and stay standing after that to pray together.
I'll praise your Lord with all my heart, before my God I'll sing your praise. I'll bow toward your holy place and bless your holy name.
Oh,
Now let us pray together. O Lord, we would return our thanks that you have called us to the place of your praise, that we too might see and acknowledge, lift up your glory, that we would glorify you before one another and before men. We give thanks, O Lord, because it is in your great and gracious dealings with us in which we find such truth, that our eyes would be blind, our spirits would be distant from you, turned from you, except by your great love that is richly bestowed upon us. We give thanks, O Lord, that it is this great and eternal plan of yours which is accomplished. Help us to always be mindful, acknowledging that it is not of us, it is not of our purposes, but it is because of the perfections of your will, the pleasure of your will, and that you have chosen to delight in bringing a people to yourself. May we see more clearly the great treasure that is ours, the great blessings that you have poured out upon us, and that we would not underestimate these things, undervalue them. We will remember that you are God, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who is over all things, the one who has made all things, our Maker, our Keeper, and our Savior. O Lord, our gracious God, accept us as we would lift up your praises this morning. May we know that acceptance to be ours in and through Christ Jesus, that it is that work of your great love in the Beloved, redeeming us through his blood, that we might find that forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need. And so, Lord, do grant your pardon. Take sin from us. Take from us the effects of what has passed. Take it from us as regarding the future, that the hold that it might hold upon us, the temptations that are laid before us. Keep us, we pray, in the face of these things. Keep us for your own name's sake. May we bear the name of Christ. Each one, may we bear it truly, as those who do serve you, who delight to do your will, knowing that it is in this that true good comes. We ask, Lord God, that you will continue a good work in us that you have begun. We pray for each of us in the various conditions that we are before you, condition of heart, and that you will draw us ever closer, each one, that you will establish us as a gathering, a congregation, a fellowship of your people, the assembling of the saints. Establish us for your own name's sake, that we will be a light in the places where you have set us, in this town and in the surrounding area. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon your people throughout this world today, once more rejoicing that the name of Christ circles the globe, this one day in seven. And we give thanks that that is sustained also through the constant prayers of your people in days to come. We do pray, Lord God, that you would answer those prayers, that they will be those earnest prayers of faithful people who cast themselves upon you, your grace and your mercy, that in all things the praises should be to your glory. So may it be among us this morning. Do accept from us the offerings that we lay before you, even as we come in the door, the offerings of our praises, the offerings of our hearts. May this be true, and that we would bow humbly before you, to receive of your grace afresh today. Hear us, we ask, O Lord, mindful too of those who might otherwise have wished to be here and cannot for various reasons. We ask, Lord, for your upholding grace upon them. For those who are in difficulty, we pray that you would help them, though the difficulty itself may not be removed, yet help them to trust in you as the one who does only good. We ask these things, O Lord, that once more, that the glory would be yours, and this in and through Christ alone, and with him that pardon of sin. Amen. As the Lord brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, and as it were, the very beginning of their new life in him, under that salvation, he set before them the portrayal of his own character as we find it in the law, the summary of the law, in what we know as the Ten Commandments, a rule of thankfulness for our lives. And so let us read and hear afresh this morning this word of God. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And this is the word of God. May he set it upon our hearts, granting his blessing to follow our reading of it. Let us make response by turning to that great psalm concerning the precepts, the statutes, the judgments, the law of God. Psalm 119, the verses we find on page 158, section 3, so that's the four stanzas, verses 17 to 24. Psalm 119, section 3, verses 17 to 29, page 158. Do good to me, and I will live. Your servant will obey your word. Isn't that what we have just read? How it is the Lord who brought Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. Do good to me, and I will live. He gives life. And the result, the response, your servant will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see great wonders in your law, O Lord. Psalm 119, section 3. Let's stand again to sing together.
Do
You have already perused the order of service for this morning and may have noticed a mark concerning our first Bible reading. We are going to turn to read in Genesis chapter 1. The reason for this is that I propose to return to an old practice, something that has been reasoned to be of great value through the church in long times past, and something that perhaps we've had a taste of from time to time, but the exercise of reading, we say, continuously through the Bible. And obviously this is going to take quite some time as we do so in service, but that we do engage in the exercise, we would seek blessing upon it. And so begin at the beginning. We'll do something similar in the evening, although a different strand of reading, and I'll explain that as we gather together this evening, how we're going about that. But this morning, to begin at Genesis 1, and then, God willing, we'll be able to continue through this reading to gather the story that God tells in His Word. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So far in God's word, may he set his blessing upon it today among us. Perhaps I can get some help from the children for a moment. I need some help because I think there's something we need to get in our heads, and you can help me to check it out. Once we have the answers to my questions, we can save them and hold on to them and use them a little bit later on in the service as well. And so I'll just need some help. I need a few answers. Who did you get any presents, some gifts, maybe even one or a few, just in the last few days? Did anyone get any presents? Any at all? If the children are not brave enough to answer, maybe some of the grown-ups. Yeah, okay, that's good. There's a few hands coming up. Did no one else get any presents? No Maybe I need to go out on, is it Tuesday the shop's open, go and get you something. Okay, there's another, oh, there's a few hands creeping up. Actually, that maybe it's quite interesting, actually. When did you, some of you got presents, when did you get presents? John?
Christmas.
You got some at Christmas, okay. Now, when was that, Fionn? Oh, did you have another answer? You got a birthday, didn't you? Yeah. How many days ago was your birthday, Fionn? More or less. Three? Four. Okay, thereabouts. A few days, not long, okay. When was Christmas? I think a few others got presents on Christmas, didn't you? When was Christmas? Can you count the days since Christmas? Down the back, yes? Becca, or? Sorry? Just a week ago, wasn't it? Just over a week ago. Yeah. Were they nice new presents when you got them? A few nods. Put your hand up if they were nice new presents. Yeah? And that's a few more hands. That's good. Yeah, some nice new presents. I've got a special question. Those presents, someone got some presents 4 days ago, someone got some presents a week ago or 8 days ago. Were they still new? They were nice and new that day for you, weren't they? Are they still new? Has anyone broken any? Yeah? Okay. So not are they new? All your presents, are they new? Today, are they still new? Yeah? Not quite new. They're not as new as they were a week ago, are they? Yeah? Caitlin, did you want to say? Are they new? Still a little bit. Have you been using them? Would Mum and Dad let you take them back to the shop after you use them? Some of them are broken as well. Sometimes we have new people, little babies, and they're born. And you go and you ask Mum or Dad this little baby, what do you ask them when you see them maybe a week or a month later? What do you ask them? What do you think you ask them? How old is your baby? The baby's only a week old, but we can only say old, a week old. Once you have something, it's new, and then the next minute comes, it's not really new anymore, is it? Not really. Can you see that? Starting to get old straight away because time goes on. Can you see that? Do you understand? You think you understand, William? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, we also talk about a new year. I said something about a new year at the start of the service. Perhaps you've heard other people talking about new year. Yeah? Who's heard anyone talk about new year? When was new year? When is new year? Are we still in the new year? Kind of. When? Yes, Caitlin.
It is New Year.
It is kind of. But exactly, when is New Year? Becca. Which was when? Gideon. Yesterday. So the New Year is actually already, we are about 11 o'clock, it's not quite halfway through the day, but the new year is already about a day and a half old. Still old. It's already old. It's moving on all the time. I want you to save that, okay? We start with new things. Actually, the presents you got, maybe it was a toy. You stop and think about that. It was put together one day, wasn't it? And then it was in the shop, so it was new for you. But it's already been around for quite a while since it was made, when it was first made. That's when it was really new. And after that, it's days old, weeks old, months old, and it is with you, it is with your presence, and so on. It is with the year. We would say, if you're really very careful about it,
Most of us are not very careful, and that's the whole point. We're not very careful to think about these things. But if you're really careful about it, we have to say 2011 is already a day and a half old. It's not new anymore. It's already well into the year, starting to get old. And that's what we like as well. That's what the world is like. Every day it's getting older. And so I want you to save that and think about that. There's things that are still almost new, but they're already getting old. And that's the only way we have of talking about it. So that's what we're going to be talking, we'll mention that later on, because we're going to be talking about something that is completely different. It doesn't do that. Okay? And we're going to learn about that by reading. We read first in Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, a few verses here in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's in this section of the Bible that we are reminded about this very new thing. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll start at verse 9 through to the end of the chapter. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so far, again, in God's word, seeking further blessing upon it. Well, if this is what God has done in Christ for men, for us, may it indeed be our blessing. And so we respond by turning to sing together Psalm 16. Page 17, as we take the verses marked 5 through to 9, 5 stanzas. Psalm 16, starting at verse 5, on page 17. Through to verse 9. O Lord, from verse 5, O Lord, you are to me my cup and portion sure. It's almost a ludicrous, an impossible picture where we talk about a portion, a cup. It's something that you can eat. It's a small thing. And it's as though God puts himself there. He says, I belong to you. I am your portion, sure. The share that is assigned to me, you guard and keep secure. So Psalm 16 from verse 5 through to 9,
to God's praise. Let's stand again to sing. Let us again bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, again, we would ask that you would set that spirit upon us, that we might perceive and understand the truth, that we rejoice, O God, in the prayers expressed by the Apostle Paul for those to whom he wrote, that he prayed constantly, not just for daily and material needs, but especially that there would be a growth and a development, a maturing in spiritual wisdom and understanding, in order that we might live lives that do honor to you. And we do ask, Lord God, that that might be so among us today, and that we will have that particular heart that is diligent to pursue such a path. Lord, we pray for this because there are so many ways in which we might be set aside. We do pray that we will be able to confess your name as the one who blesses richly, and that we will be able to see things in that light. We pray for this especially where there are difficulties, but also in a different way for all who might be prospering, where it would be a remembrance of you. We would not be forgetful of the blessings that you have granted to us, earned for us by Christ Jesus. We do pray for those who are troubled. We would remember especially among ourselves Mr. Jeff O'Neill, and pray for your upholding grace for him, particularly in the time that is needed for recovery from his injury. We would remember too those around him, the family, the Heffernan family and the O'Neill families. We ask, Lord God, that you would uphold them in their time of concern. We pray especially for his wife Shirley, and ask that she might know your peace of heart upon her, and that it would be a mark of this your day, perhaps in a special way. We would remember too, O God, those who are committed to caring for him in the hospital, and for the the needs there. We do pray for an opening of the way. But through it all, that there would also be a light that would spread in that place, in the near neighborhood around the ward and beyond, that there would be blessing entering there at a time which might otherwise be seen as difficult. So likewise, we would pray for brothers and sisters in so many places where they are even now, and perhaps acutely at this time of year, suffering for their faith. And we rejoice, O God, that they bear testimony, that there is a new insight in their hearts and minds to look upon the things of this world in a different way. And we give thanks, Lord, that they are persevering. We do commend them to you for that perseverance, that it would not be simply in human strength, but by your grace, by your Spirit. And we ask, Lord God, once more, as directed again by your Spirit through the Apostle, that we would pray for those who are in positions of authority, whether it be in Egypt or in Nigeria, in Northern Ireland, as we have spoken of, in our own nation, with the thoughts that might be upon Mr. Cameron and those around him for the year ahead. We ask, Lord God, that you would guide them according to your truth. Even now they might be seeking to humble themselves before you and to know that they are where they are by your appointing, and that they must seek righteousness for the nation. We do ask, Lord God, that there would be a ruling of peace, not the peace that the world seeks, but the true peace where you remove that great stumbling block of sin and sins in the lives of men, and the selfishness and the pride that rules so widely. Hear us, O God, as we would pray for our fellow man, but we ask that your own people would be more and more conformed to the image of Christ according to these things. We would pray too, Lord, for a number of folk that we are aware of who serve you in a particular way today, remembering Adam as he plans where the future is still unknown to us, but in your hands. We do pray that he would know the leading of your will as he makes plans for what lies ahead. And we give thanks that you have preserved him till now in his various ministries, and we ask that you might be gracious to continue to do so for the sake of your own name and the growing of your church and your people. And so many more, and again at this time of year, as we have done recently, remembering those who are separated from their families for the sake of the gospel, we rejoice, O God, that you do fulfill your promises, that there would be an enriching of their lives in the abundance of those around them who may even take the place of an ordinary family for such a time as this. So, Lord, do grant your blessing, your enabling, your enriching of your people. May it be so among us today. May we have ears that are eager to hear what you would say to us, and hearts that know that we must have a taste of Christ Jesus today. Accept us, O Lord, in him we pray, once more asking the forgiveness, the taking away of sin, and all to your own glory. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, I would turn, and if you would turn with me to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians and chapter 5. And for our text this morning, reading especially the words of verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. With thanks to the young people and the things that we saved from earlier, we have been reminded that there is not much that stays new. Food goes off, toys break, books get dusty, cars depreciate and bend, we wrinkle, and the new year very quickly gets old. We get used to it. When things age, we replace them with the same thing perhaps, or a new and improved version. Or many, as things get old, move on, lose interest and move on to the next new thing. But what if there is something that, being new, never gets old? What if, in fact, being new, it only gets newer, complete opposite to what we are familiar with, the things of this life? And this is what we have. There is such a thing, that when it begins new, it only leads to more newness. It's a clumsy way, but how else can we put it? New life by faith in Christ Jesus. And this is what Paul has in mind in this verse, in this passage, and he indicates through what he says here as the general rule guiding all his thinking, all that he did. Let us then consider this new creation and something at least of the effects and the impact, the significance of it. So it's simply two things. A new creation in Christ. What does that mean? And second, the result of that, a new view of life. Something really new. Really new. A new creation in Christ. Now, from what the Bible says, it seems that until we are fully with our Lord in glory, we will never come quite precisely to understanding what this means. But to some degree, we must be able to, because this is to be found in the Bible. We are told that in Christ, if you are in Christ, whoever you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Only in Christ, but if you are in Him, you are a new creation. Do we fully understand what it means? Perhaps not. But these are words that the Apostle uses to mark how completely different the Christian life is in Christ. It's not merely a renewal or a refurbishment of what we are. Only to call it a new creation gets anywhere near it. A new creation. We read, I think God has blessed us by setting us on this path, by bringing these readings together today. We read of this first creation, and all was so very good, and it would not have fallen apart except for the introduction of sin by us. A creation. Now Paul talks about a new creation. He is talking about something that is different, very different from what men are without Christ in them or without them being in Christ. Think about what we've been talking about just about a week ago. Many or most of you will have received a gift or a few. In the 8 days since then, those gifts are already old. They're at least 8 days old. Marks and Spencer's were introducing their summer range on Thursday, apparently, in at least one of the shops. The winter, the spring stuff, it's old already. We think it's over the top, of course, but it does reinforce the point. Time moves on, and in that time, there is constant aging. Deterioration is the norm. It's the default setting. I've mentioned him a few times recently, a favorite writer of mine, Chesterton. He points out that conservation is not just leaving things as they are. He says, if you want a white post to stay a white post, you have to keep painting it white. That's conserving it. But it needs constant attention. You know that with your garden. You're going to have to go out there sometime soon to tidy it up because it deteriorates. This world, this creation as we know it, is always dying. Let's remember where that dying comes from. It's sin. It's because man sinned that all creation, Paul tells us in Romans 8, all creation groans until the adoption, that is, the redemption of the body. And we are part of that creation as well. We are dying in every way. We did from the moment that man first disobeyed God. We're dying in every way, that is, until we are joined to Jesus, until we are found in Christ. There is nothing that ever gets newer as time goes by. Sometimes people would suggest that there is, but it's only by constant replacement and renewal. That latest gadget, it's not the new old one. It hasn't suddenly become new. It is a different one. Notice that. It is different. Maybe that's homespun kind of thinking, but it's right, isn't it? It's just putting our minds to a bit of exercise and looking at what's around us. Aiming to look at our world honestly. And face up to the way that things really are. And in a way, it should be glaringly obvious. A few simple questions, and we find the answer that the new year is already old. We read that that's not the way that things started. We have to answer, how are things this way? The sin of man. That includes you and me, and our death and the decay towards that death. Didn't Paul cry out, as he was talking about his sin, the great dilemmas of his sin and the desires of his heart in Romans 7, he cried out, who will deliver me from this body of death? He was trapped. We are trapped. Always on the road to death. And so with everything and everyone around you fading away, corrupting, gathering dust, wrinkling, dying, there would be a great deal of reason, be perfectly understandable, to wonder if there's any value in plugging away every day, if not to despair altogether, if that's what is left. People don't do that. There is a desire for overcoming that. There is that pursuit of what's new in all sorts of ways. But if it was not for that, where would we be? Well, we don't despair. That's the setting for this verse of Paul. Paul is assaulted by death and suffering himself in his own person. If you read back into chapter 4 and all around. But he says that is not all there is to life. All his suffering and light affliction, he's got his eyes set on something bigger and much better, new, that is truly new, and he is on that road. He has a hope. Peter calls it a living hope, a hope that shines through. Paul is not basing his hopes on a new year. It's not based on resolutions that depend on iron will of a man who's only broken and decaying in any case. Paul's hope is based on this. A new creation. He is a new creation. It's begun. It is certain. And the completion of it is certain.
course, there's still a whole lot of the old stuff hanging on, isn't there? It's like occasionally, I think in the Highlands, we used to see it in Africa as well. You go along and you'd see sheep along the roadside, and they'd have bits of their you could see their under fleece was showing because their long winter fleece had been starting to get tugged away, but it was hanging off and it was flying around in the wind. It looks absolutely ridiculous. It looks very scruffy. It looks just not the way a sheep should be. That's what we're like sometimes. Bits of our lives in chaos still, but there underneath is this new creation, new life, new born. Isn't that what Jesus said to Nicodemus? You must be born from above, new birth, born again, we call it. The beginning of a new life. That new life, which, as Peter puts it in his second letter, is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we decay. Is New Year the best hope that man has? Why should we settle for anything less than this? This new creation in Christ. Anything less than being on the path that draws ever closer to the fullness of this renewal. Revelation 21:5, behold, I make all things new, says the Lord on the throne. If you are in Christ, by faith in Him, a new creation, something very, very different. Not just a bit of a lick of paint. Not just a tidy up. Something completely new. And around this, Paul says, to this new creature, all things have become new. And I think this is him saying, your perspective on everything is transformed because you are transformed. You're a different being in Christ. So you see things differently, or you should. It's to be exercised. You have new eyes. Use them with that newness. Yes, there is a lot to be understood. As Jesus healed a blind man, and the blind man wasn't quite sure what he could see. Things were fuzzy. And it's as though he had to be educated to learn and to understand what it was that he saw around him. As a new creation, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Develop, be exercised in that new being. Everything to you will then be new. It'll be different, it'll be enhanced. You will see things with a new vitality. Your insight will be improved as time goes on. This new view of life because you are a new creation. The very fact that you may be able to see, and I trust you can, the fact that you can see that this world is decaying, that you recognize that for what it is, and that you recognize that man is made, you are made for more than just having to keep replacing dead things. The very fact that you may be able to see that points to a new view, that you're not blind to the realities of life, but finding a new view that comes with the work of grace and God's Spirit within. Maybe for some there is still more to go, but rejoice that you may be able to see that much. See it for what it is. The seeing. A few days ago I was out walking. And there in the lane, there was a dog in front of me on a lead, and the dog had stopped halfway across the path, and it was sniffing away among some bushes. The poor owner was on the end of one of these extending leads, and he was well up the path, and he was obviously wanting the dog to come, but the dog wouldn't. He had a mind of his own. The dog was intent on something it had seen. The owner didn't see it. He walked past. I didn't see anything. The dog saw it. The dog knew what was there. Yes, it sensed, one way or another, that there was something there of interest, because it's a different creature. And I think there's something to be found there. We're talking about being a new creation, a new creature, something very different from what we once were. And that means that things, we will see things that we didn't see before. From now on, Paul said in verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh. It's your regard, it's the way you look at things. You don't look at other people according to the flesh. The great and the mighty. I read just the other day, I was quite surprised, the richest man in the world is a Mexican tycoon. Can't remember what he's supposedly worth. Does that matter? He's a man. As a new creation, we need to look at such people in a different way. We need to look at the beggar at on the street in London in the cold of winter in a different way from what we once did. It will not be completely true immediately, but there is a new birth, a new beginning that we ought to expect will grow, will develop. It's not all going to come immediately, but it is something that can be cultivated. It wasn't even in us in seed form until we enter into life in Christ. But it can be cultivated, developed. You know, perhaps as you go through school, there are some things that start to take more and more of an interest, and you start to focus on them. You cultivate, you develop along a particular line. God works in patterns, but so in many parts of life, it should be so in this as well. But growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing things. Seeing them for what they are. This belongs with the life of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was reading a novel just the other day. And a very simple one. And there was a religion, an ancient religion, used in that story. And there was someone who was expounding this to a visitor. And he said, so-and-so was educated to think of these things as just mystery and superstition. Myths and superstition. In spite of all the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen by the ordinary man. Not seen by the natural, the dying man. But the man of faith does come to see. He sees there is ample evidence, more than enough, for all the evidence around. See it. The rest of the world says they can't see it. They therefore will not believe. The man of faith can, through faith. Someone put it this way, the world hears with its eyes. To hear a lot of messages, but it's only what it can see. So it is today, by and large. It's like Thomas, the disciple, who insisted he would not believe that Jesus had risen from the cross, from the grave, from the cross, unless he could see him for himself and touch his wounds. You can say all you like, the world will not believe. We need to see, but see with the eyes of faith. Faith in the truth, the word of truth that the Lord tells us. And I think if we go back to these few verses, we see the best test of this new insight of faith is in regard to Christ himself. From now on in verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh, no one. And then he focuses on Christ. We have known Christ according to the flesh. There was a day when Paul looked on Christ just according to the flesh. That's why he persecuted the church of Christ. But he says, things are new. Now we know him thus no longer. How do you look on Christ? How does the world look on Christ? That's the answer as to where you are. The world puts its limits on him. It says he could not be born of a virgin. He could not die and rise again. That's what the world would say. But the believer trusts in his testimony. That's what he calls us to. We've been reading in John's Gospel. That's what that's about. The believer trusts in the testimony of the Father, the testimony of the Bible, the testimony of history, the testimony, the word of his works, and especially that work of the cross and his rising again. As Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, this happened according to the scriptures, according to what Jesus himself said. The believer trusts in this as ample evidence, more than enough, of things not seen. And that's because by the work of the Spirit you've been given new faculties. You're made a new creature, new creation, able thereby to perceive spiritual realities. Seeing through his eyes. You're in Christ. You're seeing through his eyes. Being in Christ. You know, sometimes you might be in a place, maybe from here, and I could say to somebody at the back, I could say, well, can you see such and such across the road? You can't, because you're in a different place. In Christ, you're in a different place. You can see through, as it were, a new window on life. And this view of life, we must believe that because of what it is, will only get clearer, not dimmer, not duller. It's as though you start your life with the worst possible glasses prescription to be able to see. And each year you go back and you get it checked and it's improving all the time until you need glasses no longer and your eyesight keeps improving. You can see miles and miles and you can see like a hawk and an eagle and so on. With exercise. We are in a world of decay. A world which does very often place their hope in a new year. Let's not be deceived. The great hope, the one hope we have of true newness, is to be found in Christ. You can and you should take great courage from this. That's why Paul wrote it, to re-establish us, to set us firmly once more, our thinking on this new ground in which we stand if we are in Christ. That Psalm 40, lifting us out of a miry pit, a bog, setting us on a rock, our salvation in Christ. I know that there will be things often enough when things don't look so new. It's that straggly effect that I've talked about. You struggle with that. You struggle when there are other Christians who don't seem to be able to see what you see. Be like that. But perhaps we're like airports which are constantly being refurbished, and to do that there's a mess first. There's the clearing out of the old, and there is still a lot of the old stuff. Put off the old man, put on the new. That is the process of our lives before the new can emerge bright and shining. The Lord does his work on his creation, and sometimes it may get messier first. Dismantling the old stuff of our own years and the generations that we've come from. Peter said, you've been redeemed, not just from yourself, but from the traditions handed down from the fathers into a new life. What matters is not what you see naturally, but what you see beyond it. And if there is any struggle that you have as you're in yourself or looking on in others, do what Paul does. Look beyond. He wrote a number of letters to people who were, we could say, just about to shatter the church. People who were just more trouble than they were worth, most people would say. And what does he call them? He says, dearly beloved, because they are in Christ. He looks, sees them with a new sight. You see your toy that's broken since last Saturday. In the old days, somebody would look on that and say, well, I can fix that. They can see the potential.
what God's done. He sees you. He says, I'm looking on you and I'm going to make something fully new. And I'm beginning it now, if you will trust in Christ. Paul here is talking about ridiculous confusion that people get into. And also he does that in Romans chapter 3, in verse 4. There's terrible confusion about when people are talking about righteousness and faith and so on. And in the middle of that he says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Friends, this is his word. See things this way. Let every man be a liar. See God truly. Let that be your starting point and see all things differently. That's the big change that faith brings about, that God does become the center of your world. He becomes that star that sheds light on everything. He becomes the guiding light through life. He is the great light. The new creation is the great city where there is no need of sun by day or moon by night to rule the day or the night we rent. He is the rule. He is the light. He is the understanding. So friends, as we close this morning, be in Christ. Come to Him. Walk in Him if you are in Him. You have something so, so much greater than any hopes in a new year. Don't settle for anything less than this new life in Christ. But let's exercise in it. Let's exercise one another. Practice a new way of seeing things. Not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a trick that an artist has, and an artist depends on their eyes. It's just a pencil. Pencil is great just for sketching things. And what you do, you have a certain impression on things, and I look right down to the back and I see you the size that you are. But if I put a pencil beside you, you're just that big. And then the artist puts it down. You wonder how an artist can get things down on the paper and it looks so real. That's what they're doing. They're seeing things as they really are. A new way of seeing things. And it's illuminating. You do that and you see, ah, I didn't see that before. But it's making God your measure. It is seeing Him in Christ primarily, that you can. There is a trick to it, not just holding up a pencil, but keeping God there and saying, okay, how does this look in God's eyes? Just say that. Make it your exercise. In every situation you face, hold Him up. Compare this thing with Him. He is your measure. Keep Him to heart. So let's be engaged in this new creation, this new life that begins. Pray earnestly as well. If you do not yet have it, see that you need it. You need to be this different creation. And you'll see so much more. And you'll see an eternal life in Christ with God. Pray earnestly that that's what you may become by God's mercy and grace. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have become new. May God bless His word to us now and in days that He might spare us for. Let us pray together. Lord, do take us on from here, not with the mind that is bound to this earth, but the mind that
will soar as you have enabled us in Christ Jesus. We pray, the Lord, that it might be so for each one and for us together in the time that remains to us together today, in the times that we go on, wherever you might lead us. We ask, Lord God, that you would enable us as we do speak of a new year beginning, whatever may be ahead, that we would know that wisdom that comes from your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Jesus, your great and only beloved Son. Accept us, O Lord, we pray, once more in him, and do set your blessing upon us as we go from here. And this we ask to your glory. Amen. Well, let us sing that great introduction to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. We take version B. We find it on page 1 and a few lines over onto page 2. Psalm 1, the whole psalm. Version B. How blessed the one who does not walk where wicked men would guide his feet, who does not stand in sinners' paths or sit upon the scorner's seat. The law of God is his delight, his meditation, day and night. And then we'll sing through to the end of the psalm. Let's stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that for the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.